the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I'm a landscape designer, horticulturist, garden author, and I love helping people with their landscapes and gardens. So glad you could join us this morning. Have to give a big hug and a shout out to Lizzie. Good morning, Lizzie. How are you feeling?
So I owe our listeners a little bit of an apology. Okay.
Yep.
I know that I had said that when Teresa's out, that Tom McCubbin would fill in. So don't stress. And then what happens? I ended up having a massive allergy attack, a reaction to air. I don't know what springtime, and almost landed me in the hospital, to be honest with you. So I had to cancel at the last second. So I apologize.
That's quite all right. We just want you all better.
Yes.
And you are. You're looking tip-top shape this morning.
I am full of 6 shots of espresso, so that is why. And also, Teresa brought me breakfast this morning to make me feel better, so thank you.
There you go. There you go. I want to give a big shout-out to the Port Angeles Garden Club on the West Coast. As you know, I was away last week with our Revolutionary Garden Tour to celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States. And it was a wonderful, wonderful tour. We had great weather, albeit it was a little chilly. It was in the 50s. Some mornings were 40s, but then it went up to the 60s and 70s. Great days for photographing, photography, because it was overcast. And so the gardens looked great. We went to so many great places, the Revolutionary Garden Tour. So we started off in the 16th century and at Agecroft Hall, and then went from there, which is a 16th century Tudor home. And from there, we went to different venues like Maymont Ferry Farm and also the historic Kenmore Colonial Williamsburg, and then also Mount Vernon and Monticello, and also the United States Botanical Gardens, where my good friend Kathy Gents, who's been on the program many times, she is the Washington Gardener, editor, and Garden Communication International. She is
all around genius.
Yes.
This woman is a genius.
Yes, she is great. And she toured us around. So it was a wonderful tour. I want to say hello to the Florida contingent. We had a great time and lots of friends. And if you would like to join us on another garden tour, we have so many coming up this year. And then also next year, we should have our 2027 schedule up this month. So if you'd like to join us, please let us know. Just go to artandbloomgardentours.com and check out all the tours. And we do have some availability.
Yes. And also, don't hem-ha around. This isn't a hem-ha around kind of thing because they sell out.
Yes.
You'll find your prices there. And some of these, you guys are going to be going international. So you need to make sure that you got your passport. So,
yeah. It's wonderful. So weather this week, we are going to get some rain this week. North Florida, your temperatures are going to be in the 70s and 80s. We've got a cold front coming through, so you've already had some rain, thank goodness, rain this weekend, and then next Thursday to Friday. So pretty much, I would kind of, depending on how much rain you get, you may not have to water this week. Gainesville, you got thunderstorms coming today, and we may have some in Orlando today, too, as well, Central Florida. Hopefully, we're going to get some rain. Popka, thunderstorms. Orlando's going to be in the 90s this week. We've got highs 80s and mid-90s. It's too early to be 93 degrees here in Florida, but it's going to be that. Tampa, you got rain today and tomorrow, which is good. We desperately need it. 60% of the southeast is in severe drought conditions. And there's a little region in South Florida that's not, but the majority of the state is in very severe drought conditions. South Florida, you got rain this weekend and next weekend. Fort Lauderdale, Miami, you're going to be getting some rain this weekend. Just wonderful. Rain, Key West, Sunday and Monday, and then partly cloudy, temperatures in the mid-80s, which is why you come to Florida.
Yes, right? I just had family here. Yeah. But they're still here. They're leaving today. They're flying out this evening. But yeah, they're from New England, and they were just like, man, it's so nice here. And I'm like, no, you really should have been here last week. And then it's what, next week? Are we going to have a little bit of a cool down
A little bit of a cool down. And it's going to be a little bit of a tease and then back up into the 90s again. Yesterday, was our Florida full sea turtle full moon. Sea turtle full moon. And Florida sea turtle nesting season kicks off this month as female turtles come ashore at night to lay their eggs on the beaches. The eggs are expected to hatch in about 2 months. So this full moon here in Florida is called the sea turtle full moon.
Yes.
And this month we have a blue moon. So we have another full moon at the end of May, which is lots of fun. My May in Your Backyard newsletter is going to be coming out this week. If you'd like to receive it free each month, it's free. I don't spam. I don't sell your email addresses. I keep them close to my heart. And so, yeah, you know, they're such a priority.
She does.
And so we are going to have that coming out this week. Tells you what to do each month. Give you some design tips. And then also, too, my landscape malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. And then what to do this month in your garden and landscape, what to plant.
Yes, and if you missed last month's, you can also go on our website, betterlawns.com, because I post the articles up there as a few weeks go by. So, yes. But you get a preview if you end up signing up for the newsletter. So
you're so good. So right now we have Dana Venrick joining us. Mother's Day is May 10th. He's got some wonderful gardening gifts to spend time with your mom or grandmother. You got to stay tuned. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. May 10th is Mother's Day, and we all should be honoring our mothers, whether they're, here locally or you have to go visit them, or they're not here anymore. It's just still a very special time to honor, and we can do that with our plants, shrubs, and trees. Joining me right now is Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery and sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens, and we so appreciate that. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning. How are you, Teresa?
Well, I am great. Fine. I've had a wonderful, wonderful week, and I was looking forward to talking to you. Dana, so speaking about Mother's Day, what did you do as a child to honor your mom?
Well, my mother really loved orange blossoms and the scent of the orange blossoms in the air and in the grove, and so I would bring her a bouquet, included some orange blossoms, so she could enjoy that heavenly scent. But I got in trouble one year because there was a little honeybee on it, and pretty soon it was buzzing around the room, so I got in trouble. Next year, I brought her some collard greens, which she also loved.
You poor thing. You probably were kind of...
Watch those bees.
Yes. that's funny, Dana. Okay, so you have a great sale going on right now at your nursery. And what Florida-friendly and low-maintenance plants would be good to give Mom?
Yes, indeed. We have a 10% off sale. We've got some natives, lots of natives now. And we keep increasing the number of natives, which is a good thing for Florida. We have some Gallon Mrs. Schiller's native viburnum. We have Black-Eyed Susan. Coreopsis, which is the official native Florida wildflower. And then we have Kunti, which is like a small cycad that's just has that special look like a little palm. We have Magnolia grand flora, you know, the southern magnolia.
Yes.
Spiderworts, ball cypress, live oaks, beautyberry, winged sumac, wax myrtles, milkweed, and yellow anise. These are all natives I just mentioned.
Oh, wow. That would be great. You know, we do need to help. I saw this morning that we're still having issues with our bees and pollinators. And so, it's important to be planting natives and wildflowers like the Coreopsis and Black-Eyed Susan.
Yeah, and red maple. We have red maple also.
That is great. And so native trees are good for attracting wildlife and for beautifying the landscape. What are your favorites?
Well, my favorites are the southern magnolia, red maple, live oak, red cedar. I grew up with those. I used to plant hedgerows of those as a windbreak or a buffer for the grove.
Mm-hmm.
And bald cypress.
Oh, that,
which, you know, would be in the low areas.
Yeah, no, bald cypress would be great. So you also sell fruit trees. And so which ones are low maintenance and really quick to grow?
Well, my favorites that quick to grow and produce quickly, actually, when they're small, Catley guava or strawberry guava. They're small, like a big marble. They're red in color, just delicious. My mother used to make the most delicious jam, you know, from those guavas. I would climb the tree, you know, and pick them, and she would make the most delicious jelly. Mulberries. I would hide in the top of the mulberry tree when I got in trouble there, you know, because of the thick foliage.
I can't think of you getting into trouble.
Yeah, exactly. You know how kids are.
Yes.
And Japanese plum or loquats, we always had those. Pomegranates, the pineapple guava, feijoa, those are blooming right now.
And they are beautiful. Yes, they're beautiful. They have a kind of reddish-pink flower with white and really yellow stamens. And then mockingbirds pollinate them. And so,
oh, yeah, I had a pet mockingbird that made a nest in the feijoa every year.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Okay, so you also have a really nice exotic tree, but it delivers wonderful fruit, olive trees. And these are beautiful in the landscape, and they do very well here in Florida. And they produce fruit.
They do, they do. On a test tree, I've picked lots of olives 4 years in a row. Last year, on one tree where I was using the special 8011 fertilizer, more alkaline like they like, Lisa, an assistant, and I picked 40 pounds of olives off of that one tree.
Wow.
That's hard to believe, but absolutely true. We weighed them.
Okay, so answer me this. Do you brine them before you press them or after you press them?
Well, for pressing, you don't grind them. You pick them fresh within 24 hours and press them or centrifuge them, you know, to extract the oil, water and oil, and then you separate by, you know, viscosity. The oil rises to the top
because
it's lighter, and then you drain off the water from the bottom. But we also brine some, you know, like in 10% sea salt, and that takes about 6 weeks. And then you've got some delicious brined olives.
Oh, that's good. So,
by the way, we have seven varieties: Arbequina, Chimblali, Corniki, Coratina, Pequal, and Manzanilla and Lucino. The first four we have fruit every year. The others, I think I saw some on the Lucino the other day.
Uh huh. Well, how? Okay. So, is there a difference in height for them?
Yes, indeed. Commercially in Florida, most of the growers have gone to Arbequina and Chimblali and Corniki because they are smaller trees and they're easier to hedgerow. Like growers just grow them like a hedgerow of citrus trees and keep them trimmed to 8 to 9 to 10 feet at most in height.
Okay, so
keep them no more than like 50 inches wide.
Okay, so what kind of conditions do they need?
They like a higher pH soil. You know, most plants like somewhere 6 to 6.5. But olives would rather have something like a little over 7 to hold them back a little bit so they flower and bloom rather than just grow like crazy. They will grow and be just lots of foliage if you keep the pH lower, but they'll never have fruit. So you want to hold them back. A little bit of nitrogen. Volcanic pomace, they love that. It's a higher pH with all the trace minerals. And some dolomitic limestone with a good ratio of calcium to magnesium. They like that higher calcium and magnesium, holding them back, and the volcanic pomace, and the higher potassium, which is very important.
Okay, so do they bloom on new growth or old growth, or both?
Old growth, the previous season's growth. That's why trimming is an important part of the program. If they haven't bloomed or fruited, you prune every year in March until they set bloom and fruit, and then you bloom, you prune after they set fruit and after you pick them in
August. After you harvest them.
Yeah. So, yes, that's
okay.
The harvest.
All right. So I really think that's a nice tree because it's soft green. It's a soft, like, minty green, and it's the leaves are really, really pretty.
Yes, there's three in our neighborhood, the most beautiful trees in the neighborhood. Just that frosty, off-color green. They're like a semi-weeping effect. They are gorgeous.
They are. Okay, so what other plants would make lovely gifts for Mother's Day?
Oh, my gosh. We've got all types of things. Like, we have herbs like mints. We have rosemaries, a nice selection of rosemary, cilantro. We've got some beautiful vegetables right now, tomatoes. You won't believe in our potting soil. In a week and a half, they want some little liners, the most beautiful 3-gallon, already blooming. Eggplants. We've got yellow lantana, Mexican heather, begonias, red begonias, Viking red, chocolate, pentas, ruby red, and milkweed. We have some fertilizers, orchids. You've got to see our orchid trail.
I bet it's gorgeous.
I want everybody to see that. They're blooming. Lots of them blooming right now.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Our potting soil is incredible.
You know, I'm the...
All kinds of things.
Dana, I'm one of the only... I don't know. I think there's a lot of mothers out there that would like to have, you know, good soil for their yard and use that...
Yes, please.
Put a bow on it. And yeah. Happy Mother's Day. And I would be ecstatic.
Yes, and if you don't get anything, you can't decide, we have gift certificates. Be sure to get a gift certificate if you can't decide. There's so many favorites here.
And then children can give the gift certificate to their mom, and then they can bring mom to the nursery and walk around, and she can select what she wants.
Well, absolutely. So bring the kids, you know. Like the other day, I gave 2 strawberries off the strawberry plants. These kids were happy as a lark.
And I bet they would like the orchid trail, too.
So yes, blueberries. There's a few blueberries they can pick and enjoy. There's always something, you know, and in season later on, there'll be guavas to sample. And, of course, some of the citrus or calamondins or kumquats or citrus fruit.
That would be wonderful.
There's so much to enjoy here and so much to see, beautiful flowers and colors.
So Dana, tell everybody where you're located in DeLand.
We're located very near downtown, just west of Stetson Campus, 335 West Michigan Avenue, right across from St. Barnabas School. And the website, go on there, you'll learn a lot about how to grow plants. That is qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Now, can they buy over the phone a gift certificate and you can email it to them?
Yes, we can do that.
That would be great. That way somebody could get it right away, and you could email it to them. They can print it out on their own computer, and they can give mom a gift certificate that way.
That's a great idea. By the way, next weekend, May 9th and 10th, there's going to be Orchids Under the Big Top at the Volusia County Fairgrounds. It's going to be a beautiful event under the big tent with all types of orchids.
Oh, that would be a great event. I love that. They're perfect for Mother's Day. So, Dana, give us your website and your phone number.
QualityGreenSpecialist.com, 386-837-3878. The nursery number is 386-734-8000. It's easy to remember.
Thank you so much, Dana. I'll post it on our Facebook page. Thank you so much.
Thank
appreciate
you so much,
it.
Teresa. Have a great day. Great show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That's Dana Vendrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist Nursery in 333 West Michigan Street in DeLand. And you can go to this website, which is qualitygreenspecialistnursery.com. Quality Green Specialist. Go out there and check it out. And the kids would love to take mom around and have her select her own plants. If it's Saturday morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a gardener, landscape designer, garden author, And I love to help people with their yards. If you have a gardening question, this is the perfect time to get your questions in now. You can call 1-888-455-2967. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me at 23680. Like Nancy in Merritt Island and Linda in Zone 8B. And I'll be answering those in just a second. I just want to make sure that Howie and Karen Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland this morning at 9:30, they are having a butterfly gardening class. It is BYOC, which is what, Lizzie?
Bring your own chair.
Bring your own chair. And it's going to be outside. So you may want to bring a little umbrella, too, as well.
Yeah.
Just to stay out of the sun.
Yes.
And so that's at 9:30 this morning, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland. And it will be a great, great time. And I will tell you, they have wonderful butterfly plants in Lakeland. So that's good. Also, too, this is May, beginning of May. So the average temperatures for May, the highs are 87. That's the average. Low is 62. We're going to get a little bit more rain this month. So the rainfall is 3.5 inches of rain normally. And then right now, if you don't have rain, 2 times a week irrigation is just fine. Make sure you calibrate your sprinkler systems to get the right application. You don't want to just turn your irrigation system on for an hour or a half an hour. That might be too much. It might not be enough. So you got to check it out. And you do that by getting tuna fish or dog food cans, cat food cans, mark 1/2 inch in the can and place them out about 10 in one zone. Turn your sprinkler system on, turn that zone on, and time how long it takes for that can to fill up to 1/2 inch. And then you do that twice a week, that time twice a week, and you get an inch. So if you do an inch and a half of water a week, that's all your grass needs, even if we're in a drought. Just because we're in a drought doesn't mean you overwater or you have to water, you know, 3, 4, 5 days. Just water the normal amount. And then that way you have a healthy root system, you have a healthy plant. And so just make sure that your irrigation system is calibrated correctly. Let me just say one more thing. I saw a commercial on TV this morning. I won't say that. It's not a commercial. It was a news item, not affiliated with us. I'm not going to say who.
Okay.
Lizzie's going,
I'm going, where's my dump button?
And they talked about hurricane season coming up in June and that we have to get our trees cut. They were cutting palms that were normal and the healthy fronds. If your palm tree has green fronds on it, do not cut it off. Cut off only the fully brown leaves. The more you cut on palms and you cut that green frond, that is their nutritional system. That's the way they go through photosynthesis. They need those green fronds. Do not cut off your green fronds. Only cut off the brown ones, okay? They do not need to be cut in a hurricane. They will resist it. They're not, the palm trees are meant to grow. And they're used to hurricanes. They sway in the wind. It is the dead fronds that will snap that and fall off and hurt something.
Yes. And if you are concerned, because it is the 1st of May, get with an arborist ASAP and line them up to come and evaluate your situation,
that
please.
That is so true. That's a certified arborist, okay? Certified arborist is very important. Let's go to Cecil in Lakeland. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
I'm sorry. It's Carol. My bad.
I'm sorry. I'm bad. You did say Carol. I'm sorry, Carol. Good morning. How are you?
Quite all right. Good morning.
Good morning, Carol.
Hey, I've got two questions unrelated. One is that we've got a large yard, like a lot and a half, and we spent thousands of dollars over the years in pine bark mulch.
Mm-hmm.
To go through the garden path and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Well, and so we're considering moving to pine straw.
Uh-huh.
And wondering what you think about that. What should we keep in mind?
Okay, great question. So do you have pine trees in your yard naturally?
No.
Okay, all right. So pine straw and pine mulch are great pathways and walkways. The difference being, I like to use the small chip bark when you're doing the pathways. That way you can walk on it easier. But it will last longer than the pine straw. Pine straw breaks down very quickly, and it will it'll last maybe 9 months to a year, possibly 14 or 15 months. You're going to have to replace it more often than you would the pine bark. So that is one thing. The other thing is that the pine bark, depending on the slope, the elevation of your property, may wash away, whereas pine straw will not. Okay, so if there's any kind of elevation or slope, you may want to just go with pine straw and then mat it down real quick. So I would just, from the design viewpoint, I don't know which one would look better with your yard, but you might want to do like 3 or 4 feet of the pine straw, see how you like the look, and then do 3 or 4 feet of the pine bark, see how you like the look, and decide on which one looks better for your yard.
But they both work pretty much the same in terms of keeping weeds down.
Yes, and, as long as, so any mulch will work as long as it's 3 to 4 inches. So you're going to need to have a little bit more of the pine straw. It's not as expensive as the pine bark, but you want at least 3 to 4 inches to block the sun. If you do that, then the weeds don't germinate.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, and so Buddleia. The butterfly.
Oh, Buddleia. Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay, Buddleia. Okay. Well, so I got 3 of them yesterday and planted them, and then when I was looking about it online, it said that it's invasive and that I've got to deadhead it and throw away the flowers.
Yeah.
I can't let them just go onto the ground.
No, not true. Okay, so up north, the Buddleias, the original Buddleias that first came out on the market have spread up north, and they've even over in the UK have spread, and they've kind of naturalized outside, which is, they're very aggressive. Invasive, I'm not really going to go there, but the new ones that are out, the ones that you bought are sterile. Uh-huh. And they're not going to. They're not going to. They solved that situation a couple of years ago. I would say probably 4 or 5 years ago. They started coming out with hybrid varieties that are sterile. So you don't have to do that.
Oh, my gosh. You just saved me so much time.
Okay.
I was thinking I was going to be out there cutting off the buds.
In northern states, but not in Florida. We haven't seen them naturalized here. Thank you, Carol, for the call. We're going to take more of your phone calls, 1-888-455-2967. Or text 23680. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
And my top five this week is in honor of our Revolutionary Garden Tour. It is the top five revolutionary herbs used medicinally now, even today, and back in the 18th century. Number 5, chamomile. It was used in colonial times to calm digestive upset, anxiety, and sleeplessness. It's still a go-to for soothing teas and gentle skin care. Number 4, mint. Valued for easing stomach cramps and nausea. Remains popular in teas, balms, and culinary uses. Grow it in pots. Number 3, yarrow. Crushed and applied to wounds to reduce bleeding and inflammation. Also used for fever reduction and circulation. Number 2, comfrey. Applied externally to promote healing of bruises and broken leaves. And number 1 revolutionary herb used medicinally is sage, used for respiratory ailments and a general tonic. It is still available in dried form and herbal blends. So that's my top 5 revolutionary herbs still used today medicinally.
Love that. It's cool to see that, you know, that these things were being used and we still have, you know, it available today. So,
yes. And so we in Colonial Williamsburg, we went to the apothecary and they showed us all the different herbs they used. And then we saw so many herb gardens and I was just really surprised at how beautiful they are. And I'll be posting photos on my Facebook page, my Art and Bloom Facebook page, too. as well.
So your tours aren't just like, oh, pretty flowers. Look, that's a pretty garden. You guys actually get a little bit of a lesson here and there.
We do. We talked to Eve Omar. She was the master historian of botanical gardening for Colonial Williamsburg. And she was just incredible. So I'm going to be talking to her and speaking to her around the 4th of July. So we'll be doing a great interview with her. And then we got to see Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry came in, and what was fascinating was Patrick Henry's all in his colonial gear, wardrobe, and he's talking to us, and he's very English, his accent, very proper. And then somebody fell on the sidewalk behind him, and he just with a wave of his handkerchief says, "Excuse me, I have to go help this lady," and he went over in costume, just in his persona, and he made sure she was all right. Then he came back to us and he continued.
So he didn't go, "Hark, who fell there?"
No,
okay.
But it was just a great time. We had a great time. If you'd like to know more about our trips, you can go see it. We have the Newport Flower Show coming up, which is we're going to Martha's Vineyard too as well, and into Boston. And it's just going to be incredible. In July, we're going to the Buffalo, New York for the largest garden walk in the United States and also to Canada, so you do need a passport. Then in August, we're going to France to the vineyards and chateaus and all the wonderful, wonderful different gardens in France. And then October, we're going to New Orleans. So check them all out, artandbloomgardentours.com. Now, want to tell you what to plant this month real quickly. Vegetables, this is what you can be planting right now. Amaranth, boniata, calabaza, cassavas, chayotes, and cherry tomatoes. It's too late for tomatoes now, guys. So cherry tomatoes will produce all year round. Collards and dasheen, Everglades tomatoes will produce all year round. Ginger and lima beans, longevity spinach, long squash, luffa, snap beans, Malabar spinach and malangas, New Zealand spinach and Okinawa spinach, okra and papaya, hot pepper, peanuts, pigeon peas, pineapples, roselle and Seminole pumpkins, southern peas and sugar cane, sweet potatoes and Swiss chard, tamarillos, yam and yard long beans. Those are the vegetables we could be planting. So let's take care of Nancy in Merritt Island. She says, "Good morning. I'm wondering if my plumeria will come back. I cut off the dead frozen branches, but it looks like the rest of the stems are hollow. Did I lose them completely?" She says she loves the show. Thanks, Teresa and Lizzie. Well, thank you, Nancy, for listening. We do appreciate that. So, Nancy, you need to cut down and find where it is still intact. So it's a complete stem. You might have to go down to the ground. And if you get down to the ground and it is hollow, it may be gone. Okay, we still have a little bit more time for growth, but the cold was so damaging that it might have frozen the inside, and then it just turned to mush. So just keep cutting until you find some more, and if not, then you know you need to replace it. I will tell you, before a freeze, it's always a good idea from the plumeria, which we did mention, mm-hmm. is to cut a few stems and canes, cut it down, cut it back out, put it in the garage, and then you can replant it after the winter time yes. is over with. All right. So Linda in Zone 8B, she needs an email to send pictures. My email address is Teresa, T-E-R-E-S-A dot Watkins, W-A-T-K-I-N-S at live.com. Linda, send me those pictures. I love them. Poor Fred in Eustace. He says, "Good morning, Teresa. Is there any hope for my freeze-damaged ponytail palm trees? I left all the fronds on, and they are all drooping brown. The stems are mushy the last 6 to 8 inches or so." Well, that's going to be a tough one. You don't say how tall it is, Fred. And so if it's less than 6 feet tall, it may be dead if it's a small ponytail palm. A larger one may start producing from a different part of the bulb. So ponytail palms are the ones with those great big bulbous bottoms. And bulbous bottoms, there you go. It should be my dirty word of the day. Ponytail palms, they get mushy, that area is dead. But it still could sprout out from another portion of the bulb there. So, Fred, just keep hoping. cut the dead fronds off and see if another one comes up somewhere else. Okay. And then maybe you could replant it if it's not too big and turn it to the area that it is coming out. Okay. Check it out. I would just say try and wait another month or so and see what's going on. With these warmer temperatures, everything's going great. And so we should be recovering shortly from that. Next, we have Rebecca Keratem. She is the United States Marketing Director for David Austin Roses, my favorite roses.
They are gorgeous.
They are gorgeous. They're English roses. They are cabbage roses. They grow here in Florida, and Rebecca is going to tell us all about them. So you don't want to miss Rebecca there and do that. So let me tell you what else can be planted right now. So bulbs, we're talking about bulbs. Achimenes and Agapanthus, alocasias and amaryllis. My amaryllis, my burgundy ones, I've got to get a picture posted of those. They were absolutely gorgeous. Just a burgundy red amaryllis, just gorgeous. Blackberry lilies and blood lilies, bulbine and caladiums. The caladiums are finally coming up. And later on next month, we're going to be having the classic caladiums. They're going to be on and telling us how to grow our caladiums. So their festival's coming up. That's always a great one to go to. Calla lilies and cannas, crinums and crocosmia, colocasias and daylilies, eucharist lilies, gladiolas and gloriosa lilies, hurricane lilies, lily of the Nile, which is also called agapanthus, peacock ginger, society garlic, rain lilies. Oh, I love rain lilies. Spider lilies and St. Bernard's lilies and Star of Bethlehem. And those are beautiful. We saw those up in Virginia. And I was surprised, Lizzie, at how many Florida natives I saw in Virginia that grows here in Florida.
Right.
And just tulip trees. Tulip trees are native to Florida, but these were 80 feet tall. Absolutely gorgeous. The fringe trees were in bloom this week in Virginia. And then that is a native, beautiful, it's also called Gracie's Gray Beard or Old Man's Gray Beard. And it has little fringy flowers on them. It kind of looks like a Laura Petalum flower, that fringe, but it's all white, just beautiful. Sweet Spire and Summer Sweet shrubs that were huge. These would make wildlife happy and pollinators happy, bringing them to your yard. Sweet Spire and also Summer Sweet. And then blackberries. The blackberries were all flowering as we're going along, going to these venues, locations. We were going to these gardening locations. The blackberries were all in bloom by the side of the road. And I said, oh, we just got to come back up here in July and pick blackberries.
Yes.
But blackberries are native to Florida, too.
Yes.
And they get big and huge here, too, as well. So it was very interesting to see the Florida natives up there that do well here in Florida. And we should just be planting more of them. More trees, more shrubs that attract wildlife and butterflies. So that was the tulip tree, sweet spire, summer sweet, a fringe tree, and blackberries. And they will do well as well. It is a drought right now. We're in a severe drought. We're going to be getting rain. Please check and see how much rain you got so your irrigation system doesn't have to come on. Just remember, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.